We are grieved when the Supreme Court of the United States of America would disagree with God and attempt to improve upon his definition of marriage, even though God created marriage. We are grieved when the Congress, the great nation of the United States of America, would refuse to defund an organization that slays human beings before they are born and then sell the body parts. We are grieved by the direction of our country. But we are not surprised. The world has been long in antagonism toward God. Here in America, there has been some ease in that warfare in comparison to some other places in time and history. But there has been a war against God ever since sin entered into the world. Long antagonism with God. And as a result, life is hard. We should not feel like we have been robbed. We should not be surprised as if it were some strange thing when all does not go well in our lives, because the truth is we are sinners in the midst of a sinful people in a corrupted world. And so we must fold that theological reality into how we cope with, nay, how we are victorious in this life. Because life is hard. It would not be wise to expect our employer always to teach us right, or for all things to go well always within a marriage, or for us not to have any medical or legal or relational or financial challenges. Because life is hard. Take any topic in the scriptures and see if even the godly do not find that life is hard. Take, for example, marriage. David, a man after God's own heart, his first marriage, that to Michal, was what some might characterize a bust. Solomon's wives inclined him towards idolatry. Hosea married a harlot. Ezekiel, when his wife died, he was not even allowed to mourn her publicly. Moses was ridiculed for his Ethiopian wife. Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, was unfaithful to him. Potiphar's wife had a roaming heart. Abigail was married to a fool. Esther ended up in a harem. Leah married a man in love with her sister. We look at children. Abraham was called to sacrifice his own son. Jacob thought he had lost his son for decades. Job did lose 10 of his children. Aaron lost 2 sons. Eli lost 2 sons. David lost a son. Daniel can never have sons. Not in the providence of God for John the Baptist to have a family. Many women were barren for many years. The people in the scriptures whom we honor were not always treated well by others. Isaac was deceived by his own wife and son. Laban was deceived and deceiving. David's close confidant forsook him. Elisha's servant misrepresented his master. Jephthah was kicked out of his own household till they needed him. Jesus was betrayed by his own disciples. Life is hard. Don't mean to say it in a depressing way. I'm just saying we fold that reality into how we find victory. It's not by the absence of troubles. Life was hard for David. It was hard for Daniel. It was hard for Jephthah. It's hard for Joseph. Hard for Ezekiel. It's It's hard for a missionary. I learned about this last week as I investigated travel to India to meet with our missionary there to Bhutan. The gentleman I spoke with who is going there to that region soon told me that this other week, a man that they've known for a long time who was a missionary to lepers, leper colony there in northeast India. He was traveling and there was no room in this inn, so he and his two sons slept out in the vehicle. The nation is getting more and more radicalized concerning its Hindus. When they discovered him and his sons in this vehicle, they set it ablaze. They lost their lives. We're going to sing a hymn we all know well, and some of us know some of the story of the author, Joseph Scrivener. He's born, I believe, around 1819, Ireland. Grew up, was educated, got a degree there, fell in love. The woman with whom he was engaged the night before the wedding drowned in the river. How tragic must have been that funeral. Joseph Scrivener, in an attempt to still salvage a life, started afresh, traveled over to Canada. And some do not know this, but while he was there, he did fall in love again, got engaged a couple weeks before that wedding. His fiancée falls sick. About the day of the wedding, she dies. Twice this has happened. Some 10 years after that, he, now having taken a pledge of poverty, and he's devoting his life in Canada, walking around with a saw, cutting wood for the poor and the handicapped so that they would have heat in the winter. Some 10 years later, he finds that his mother is dying back in Ireland. He has no money, can't travel back. But what he does do is write in a poem, 3 stanzas, what he has discovered through all of his vicissitudes. And he writes, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Some years later, that poem was put to music. It wasn't really popularized until days of D.L. Moody. And so Scrivener never knew of its popularity, its blessing to the church over the years, for he himself drowned in a lake in Canada when he was in his 60s and before this hymn became known. Life can be hard. In a little while here, a trio is going to sing a hymn that a number of you know, written by Ron Hamilton. It's called "Rejoice in the Lord." He's a gentleman about my age, maybe a year or two older. When he was in his 20s, I believe, is when he found he had cancer in his eye and went through an operation. They determined they had to remove his eye. Then he wrote soon after these words, "God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant, molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness, he giveth a song." I doubt that he knew what trials would still yet visit him. As some of you know, it was 2 years ago on Mother's Day that one of his sons took his own life. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knows the path that I take. See, life is not told to us in scriptures in this fallen world to be easy. But we can have victory. And it isn't by enduring and struggling through this and just looking forward to someday having respite and release. I was reading, Carol and I are going through "My Utmost for His Highest," devotional by Oswald Chambers. And the reading for July 28th says the following, and with this I'll close. We are apt to imagine that if Jesus Christ constrains us and we obey him, he will lead us to great success. But we must never put our dreams of success as God's purpose for us. His purpose may be exactly the opposite of what we anticipate. We have an idea that God is leading us to a particular end, a desired goal. He is not. The question of getting to a particular end is a mere incident. What we call the process, God calls the end. What is my dream of God's purpose? His purpose is that I depend on him and on his power now. If I can stay in the middle of the turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. God is not working towards a particular finish. His end is the process. That I see him walking on the waves, no shore in sight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that it is all right because I see him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. God's training is for now, not presently. His purpose is for this minute, not for something in the future. We have nothing to do with the all afterwards of obedience. We get wrong when we think of the afterwards. What men call training and preparation, God calls the end. God's end is to enable me to see that he can walk on the chaos of my life just now. If we have a further end in view, we do not pay sufficient attention to the immediate present. If we realize that obedience is the end, then each moment as it comes is precious. Scriptures say God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice those two-letter words that start with I in that text. God is our refuge and strength. Not will be, but is in this moment our refuge and our strength, a very present help, not after trouble, but in. God is a refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. We gather here not because we have no troubles. Man is born under trouble. We gather here because we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior in the midst of them. Fellowship, victory, calm in the midst of troubles. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.